वन्देहम्। श्रीगुरु Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Diti Namine Charine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Asatya Desha Charine Yeah. Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariparaja Kacharya Astotra Sutta Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariparaja Kacharya Astotra Sutta Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jaya. Nabhacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It is a great honor and privilege and pleasure to be here today in the holy land of Gita Nagari, in the association of so many sincere seekers and devotees. The theme of the retreat is authenticity and harmony. Authenticity refers more specifically to the individual aspirant to know who he is, who he or she is, and where he or she is situated, and to make sincere and systematic efforts to progress towards the ultimate goal of life. But part of realizing who we are includes realizing how insignificant we are, how weak we are, and realizing Sri Sri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. For success in any endeavor, one requires association. For example, in the business field, there are organizations such as the Stock Exchange or the Chamber of Commerce. So one can do business. One can trade in stocks without being a member of the stock exchange, but one will not do very much business. So we can try to progress spiritually on our own, but we will not make much progress. And in fact, there's every possibility that we could go backwards. And therefore, associating with other aspirants, other practitioners, is an essential part of bhakti yoga, or Krishna consciousness. But when we associate with others, even in the endeavor to progress spiritually, there is some chance of some conflict because of our conditioning. But if we realize how tiny we are and how much we need the support of fellow devotees to help us on our way, we will treasure that association. We will value each and every person. And naturally, our relationships will be harmonious in that spirit. We in the Hare Krishna movement take knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita, which is the literal record of Krishna or God's spoken word. And at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructed Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, always think of me and become my devotee. And sarvadharman parityaja mamekam saranam vraja. Give up all varieties of religiousness and just surrender unto me. These instructions are just what we need to hear and apply. But because in the present age people are slow to learn, Krishna came again 500 years ago as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the same Krishna, but he came in the role of a devotee to show us by his example, Manmana, how to always think of Krishna, Madbhakta, how to become Krishna's devotee. And there's a very nice picture of him with his associates performing Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a prediction. Prativite acheyato nagaradi gram sarvatra prachor hoy be marnam. This was about 500 years ago. And he predicted that in every town and village of every country of the world, his name or Krishna's name would be sung and glorified. This prediction at that time in, you could say, medieval India seemed inconceivable. And even among the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the centuries, they could not understand how such a prophecy could come true. They thought it may be some sort of poetic metaphor, but not something that could actually happen. But it so happened that 50 years ago, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our esteemed, beloved spiritual master, He left India on a steamship, a cargo carrier, actually, and came to America, to Boston, and then New York. And he fulfilled the prediction of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And it is because of his faith and his efforts and his love and his compassion that we are here today. He has made the teachings of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and the teachings of Sri Krishna Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita available to us in the English language as it is. Srila Prabhupada's translation of the Bhagavad Gita is called the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now, if you think about it, that could be taken as a provocative statement. Do you mean to say that you're presenting the Bhagavad Gita as it is and others are not? Well, my dear devotees, that is exactly the case. That is precisely the situation. Srila Prabhupada himself raised the question there, because there were other translations of the Bhagavad Gita in English. So what was the need for another translation? And Srila Prabhupada gave the answer that the Bhagavad Gita must be received according to the directions given in the Bhagavad Gita. It's just like if you have some medicine, you have to take the medicine according to the directions on the label or according to the directions of the physician who prescribed it. So the Bhagavad Gita tells us how to receive the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. And first is evam parampara praptam. This knowledge must be received through parampara. Parampara means literally one after the other. It means a disciplic succession. Because the real knowledge is coming from Krishna, from God. And one who has heard directly from God will know, he will understand properly what God is saying. And then he in turn can communicate the same message to his students. And then they, in turn, can communicate the same message to their students. And this is called parampara. And who, so that is the qualification of the teacher. Now, what is the qualification of the student? Krishna himself also says, in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he was the ideal student, bhaktosime, that I am giving this knowledge to you because you are my devotee. And Arjuna accepted the knowledge from Krishna as it is. He said, sarvam etadrite manye, that I accept in truth whatever you have said. And he accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. So to get the real benefit of the Bhagavad Gita, we must receive it as Arjuna did, accepting it in toto as the truth, and accepting the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as I mentioned, Krishna came again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he showed us by his example how to be devotees of Krishna. And in the course of his instructions, he gave a very nice example that is very relevant to the theme of our retreat. He said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. That the living entities, this is the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, that the living entities, jivatmas, are distinct from the body. And the body is just a machine or a dress for the atma. And when the body dies, the soul, the atma, continues to live. And according to the living entity's activities and thoughts at the time of death, they get the next body. This is called transmigration of the soul. So, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavanaji. This means that the living entities are wandering through so many species of life in so many different planetary systems. But when one such living entity becomes fortunate, he receives the seed of bhakti, pure devotional service. And all of us here are fortunate because we are coming in touch with that mercy. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one receives the seed of devotional service. The idea is that God is within the heart and he knows the sincerity of the living entity. And if he sees that some living entity is sincere to make a permanent solution to the problems of life and attain actual everlasting happiness, then from within the heart, Krishna will guide that living entity to the association of devotees who can teach him the science of Krishna, of Bhakti Yoga. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that when you receive that seed, you should become a gardener, a mali. And you should plant that seed within your heart. Now, what comes next after you plant a seed? Many things come, but the basic requirement is one should water the seed. And what is the process of watering? It is Shravana Kirtana. It is chanting and hearing about Krishna. That's how we water that seed. And every program that we offer includes chanting and hearing about Krishna, because that is how one develops the initial faith to receive the seed, and that's how one makes the seed grow, by chanting and hearing. But that is not the end, because the gardener has to be wary of weeds that may grow up. Because when weeds grow, they suck the water that's meant for the real plant. And disturb the conditions under which the plant can grow nicely. And it is in connection with these weeds that the association of devotees is necessary at every stage. But because part of our topic is authenticity, so we will discuss the weeds. And Lord Chaitanya explains that these weeds may exactly resemble the devotional creeper. They may appear to be of the same size and shape as the devotional creeper, but actually they're not. Actually, they're weeds. Bhakti means that the individual soul engages in the service of the Supreme Soul to give pleasure to the Supreme, and in the course of giving pleasure to the Supreme, the individual enjoys unlimited everlasting pleasure. That is bhakti. But one can knowingly or unknowingly cultivate, engage externally in the practices of bhakti yoga, but internally harbor other desires, material desires. Desires for material enjoyment, even desires to enjoy yogic powers, or desires to merge and become one with God, or to, to think that one can become God. So these are all weeds. And so to be authentic means to distinguish between the devotional creeper and the weeds. Now, because the weeds may resemble the devotional creeper, we may not be able to distinguish easily. And therefore, we can take help from an expert gardener who can explain that Prabhu, this is not good. You know, this is not good. I could elaborate with some examples, but our audience is so diverse that I'm not thinking of an example that everyone could relate to. So what I will do is I will read from this most valuable book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, a description of some of these weeds. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 158. Chapter entitled, The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desires for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. 159. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creepa are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. In fact, I'll read the Sanskrit because it'll make it easier. So first is nisida achar, behavior not to be exhibited by a person desiring to become perfect. Then kutinati, duplicity. Jiva himsana, unnecessarily killing animals or the soul. Labha, profit according to material calculation. Puja, adoration achieved by satisfying mundane people. Pratishta Adi, becoming an important person in material calculation, and so on. Yata, all these, Upasaka Gana, are unnecessary creepers. So I'll read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is a certain pattern of behavior prescribed for those actually trying to become perfect. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we advise our students not to eat meat, not to gamble, not to engage in illicit sex, means sex outside of marriage, to begin with, and not to indulge in intoxication, which strictly speaking includes coffee, tea, and cigarettes. People who indulge in these activities can never become perfect. Therefore, these regulative principles are for those interested in becoming perfect and going back to Godhead. See, if the devotional creeper is watered and protected, it will grow and grow and grow, and it will penetrate the coverings of the universe and ultimately take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan, and it will produce the fruit of love of God, and the devotee will relish that fruit. And that perfection can be achieved even in this body. Lord Chaitanya explains that even after the devotional creeper pierces the coverings of the universe and takes shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world, the devotee on earth continues to water that creeper by chanting and hearing. In other words, chanting and hearing about Krishna never stops. Before I met Srila Prabhupada, I was one of the unfortunate many who was seeking spiritual perfection, but was coming in touch with people and with books that were not able to explain what actual perfection was and what the means to attain it was. So one of the slogans I read in some of these books was that as long as a pot remains empty, it makes noise. But when the pot is full, it becomes silent. So the idea is that as long as we're spiritually empty, we talk. But when we're spiritually full, we stop talking. So this theory is refuted by Lord Chaitanya. He says that even after you attain perfection, the chanting and hearing about Krishna continues. Kutinati, or diplomatic behavior, cannot satisfy the Atma, the soul. It cannot even satisfy the body or the mind. Now, we're talking about being authentic. So one very important word in Sanskrit is saralata. That means simplicity. It means that there's no difference between what you're thinking and what you're saying and what you're doing. In material life, there may be differences. You might be thinking one thing and saying something else and doing something else. But with a devotee, there should be no difference. So, diplomatic behavior, an example in general terms is that I'm pretending that I want something for Krishna, but I actually want it for myself. A friend of mine gave a rather innocuous or innocent example. Because in this process of archana, worshiping the deity, we offer the deity a very opulent foodstuffs, which we don't eat in our normal course. So one devotee, he was like lusting to have that, it's called Mahaprasad of the deity. And that Mahaprasad was always kept in a certain place, so that when the devotees gathered, everyone would get a little bit. But he was just so eager that he snuck into that restricted area, and he was planning to eat it all. And the head pujari, the head priest, at that moment came and discovered him. He said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, you know, I just wanted to make sure that the offering was to the proper standard. So I was just going to take a little morsel of each preparation just to make sure that the cooks were doing their duty properly." So this is, it's a sort of an innocent example, relatively innocent example. But there could be many other examples where a devotee wants something for himself, but makes a pretense that it's for Krishna's service. The culprit mind is always suspicious. Now, this is also one of the effects of being crooked. And that is that we think others are crooked. It's sort of human nature that Atmavan Manyate Jagat, as you are, you think others are also. So if you're crooked, then you think others are also crooked, which is not such a good mentality in the society of devotees. It's not good either way. We shouldn't be crooked, and we shouldn't assume others are crooked. But ordinary people, not everyone, but they tend to be crooked. When we opened the project in Juhu, we were very few devotees, and we were not so experienced in India, and we had to run a big restaurant. And some friends suggested we should hire, we should give it out on contract. So, it made sense. So we got someone who had a vegetarian restaurant, and we explained our standards, and so we gave it to him. So then we also got a general manager who was a Hindu worker, and so he detected, he said, the people you've given the restaurant to are cheating. And they were. So he said, "I'll do it. I'll take it over." So we gave it to him. And he was also cheating. And sort of like it it takes one to know one. So it's like, yeah. So we shouldn't cheat, and we shouldn't wrongly accuse other devotees of cheating. That's the basic idea. The culprit mind is always suspicious. Therefore, our dealings should always be straightforward and approved by Vedic authorities. If we treat people diplomatically or duplicitously, our spiritual advancement is obstructed. Jiva Himsana refers to the killing of animals or to envy of other living entities. The killing of poor animals is undoubtedly due to envy of those animals. Yeah, so Jiva Himsana it means envy of other living entities. It's often taken to mean committing violence. And here at Kirtanagari, we are, of course, devotees don't harm any living entity. When Srila Prabhupada first came to New York after he arrived from India, so eventually he was staying in a small apartment. And the apartment became infested with insects, I guess cockroaches and whatnot. So the landlord had an extermination company come, I guess, to exterminate the pests. And Prabhupada refused to allow them to do that in his apartment because devotees do not cause any harm to any other living entity. So what happened was all the cockroaches and other insects from all the other apartments, all the other units in the building, they came to Srila Prabhupada's apartment. And he was very happy. He said, just see, they are taking shelter of Krishna consciousness. But there's another meaning to Jiva Himsana. The human form of life is meant for understanding Krishna consciousness, atato brahma jigyasa, for inquiring about the Supreme Brahman. So the real life is to inquire into the ultimate good and to pursue and ultimately reach the goal. And that knowledge is given by devotees. So if we have that knowledge and we don't share it with others, that is also considered Jiva Himsana. Because in a way we're doing violence, we're showing envy of other living entities because we're depriving them of their life, their real life. So this is part of continuing chanting and hearing. We chant and hear not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. So this is an elaborate discussion, and because we have such a diverse audience, I tried to just give an overview. But the basic idea is this, that we cannot be Krishna conscious alone. We need the support of other devotees. And for our relationships with each other to be mutually beneficial as they should be, we should really, if not literally, at least within our hearts, throw ourselves at their lotus feet and beg for their mercy. Because without their mercy, without their kindness, without their association, we cannot do anything. And we should value and treasure each and every devotee. When we associate with devotees, we may, because of our culprit minds, take their association for granted. And that is very risky. It's very risky. Because if we take something for granted, we may lose it. So that we come to understand the value of it. And after we've lost it, it may not be so easy to get it back. So we should really embrace the association of devotees. And part of valuing the devotees or appreciating the devotees is serving them. Of course, ultimately, we are spiritual beings, and so the best service that we can render is to help people come to Krishna consciousness and to encourage them to chant and hear about Krishna and serve Krishna, share the message. But devotees also have bodies, as Her Grace Vrajalila pointed out in her introduction. Devotees also have bodies. And sometimes we need to serve their bodies to facilitate their service to Krishna. And devotees have minds. They have. They also need encouragement, you know, affection, appreciation. We didn't get to read too much, but one of the other items that Srila Prabhupada mentions is the mad elephant. I think I must tell you about the mad elephant. So apart from weeds, there's another danger, an even bigger danger. And of course, in a literal sense, in this particular context, it may not be so relevant. But in India, the danger was Hatimata, a maddened elephant. You could be very carefully cultivating your garden But if a maddened elephant comes into your garden, he can just trample everything and uproot everything and destroy everything in no time. So what is that maddened elephant that can cause such havoc and devastation within moments? So that is a Vaishnav aparad. That means offending Vaishnav or Guru aparad, offending the spiritual master. In particular, Gurur Avagya, disobeying the orders of the spiritual master on the execution of devotional service. If one disobeys those instructions, then all the effort that he put into cultivating his devotional creeper may be wasted, because he can lose it all very quickly. So how do we protect ourselves from that maddened elephant? So Lord Chaitanya says that we have to fence in our devotional creeper. Well, okay, that's good. But what's the fencing? The fencing is the circle of pure devotees. We have to stay within the circle of pure devotees. And if we stay in the circle of pure devotees, our devotional creeper will be protected. And the other side of it is that one should avoid intimate association with non-devotees. There are many details, and you may have questions about how to apply these principles. But not to associate with non-devotees does not mean that you can't be in close physical proximity to them. It doesn't mean that at the workplace you can't talk to them or look at them, or at school you can't talk to them or look at them, or at the yoga studio. But what it means is that you should not develop intimate relationships with them. You should not be influenced by their materialistic ideas. But in an ordinary sense, yes, you can and you must. There's no way you can't live in this world without coming in close physical proximity and having to look at someone or speak to them or give them something, take something from them. But our real affection should be for devotees. There are six exchanges of love, and those should be done with devotees. We can do something that's similar with others, but without that intimacy, without that affection. So when Srila Prabhupada began to speak, he would often tell people that you don't have to change anything, that you just add Krishna. And that is true. But hearing this more elaborate discussion, one might think, oh my gosh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't be friends with, and it's, so this is But what Srila Prabhupada said is true. If you feel that there are things that I said that seem to be too much for you right now, that's okay. You can just take whatever you're able to at this particular state. Just do the best you can where you are now. But for others who are initiated or aspiring for initiation, these guidelines are essential. They're essential. So, but whatever it is, if we just go on chanting the holy names, everything will be all right. So, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we have a few minutes. Do any of you have any questions or comments? Yes, Prem Vilas Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you said to avoid offenses, mad elephant offense, we should stay in the association of pure devotees. So, what does it mean by pure devotees? And then, if we stay in that association, the possibility of offenses are more.
This is a very tricky question. First, he's asking, what is the definition of a pure devotee? Well, the simple definition is that someone who is serving Krishna just for the pleasure of Krishna, without any ulterior motive, either for material enjoyment or mystic powers or impersonal liberation. On occasion, Srila Prabhupada said that anyone who's strictly following the instructions of the spiritual master is to be considered a pure devotee. So basically, but Prabhupada makes this point that if you think that there are many pseudo-devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, then you can associate with the spiritual master directly or take his guidance. I'm sure you don't think that. It's true that if you associate it with pure devotees, there's a verse that the dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees can bestow the greatest boon upon the living entity. But the same dust, if you offend it, can send you to hell. So, we need to associate with pure devotees in order to progress. And we just have to be careful to relate to them in the proper way. You see, in bhakti, there's no external arrangement that will ensure your progress. Everything depends on your sincerity of heart. You need to associate with pure devotees. You can't advance without the association of pure devotees. But there's no external arrangement by which you can associate with pure devotees and automatically not offend them. That depends on you. So, but the pure devotees are there to guide you. The books are there. Other devotees are there. So that's why I say we have to just, like, at least internally, like, fall down at the feet of the Vaishnavas and beg for their mercy, and do whatever we can in our power to serve them and please them. And if we see some fault, you know, if it's our service, you know, if we're sure that the fault is really there, and if it's our service to instruct them and correct them, then, you know, very humbly and very gently, we can do that. But otherwise, we shouldn't. You know, that we were recently at the Sadhu Sangha retreat in North Carolina. So one of the organizers asked His Holiness Radhanath Swami what they could do to improve. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami replied that when I visit a place, I don't look for faults. I just appreciate the good that's there. But when I'm responsible, then I look for all the faults and I try to correct them. I saw that in action when I visited the Govardhan Echo Village. There was a little defect in the room. And I saw it, but I thought, anyway, I'm not going to say anything. I mean, they'll figure it out. And then Radhanath Swami came into the room to see how it was. He immediately saw the fault and very explicitly instructed, chastised the devotee that, how could you allow this fault to be there? You know? So, if it's not our responsibility, it's probably better just to see the good. But if it is our responsibility, then we have to see the faults so that we can correct them. And on the other side, we should be open to being corrected. You know, in that mood of valuing the association of devotees, we should value their good instructions and not rebel. You know, like, who are you to tell me? Don't you know who I am? On the flight to... Anyway, it's a nice story, but we don't have time. Oh, I have to? Yeah, because I started. Okay. So, someone told me this. I wasn't there, but so because of whatever circumstance, a flight was canceled, and standing sort of towards the end of the queue, you know, all the passengers were standing in line waiting to get other flights booked. So there is one man towards the end of the line. You know, maybe he was some performer. He was sort of good looking and whatever. So he was, you know, he was like pushing him, you know, sort of clawing his way to the front of the line. And so the lady at the counter said, "Sir, you know, you are at the end of the line. You have to wait your turn. You can't just bypass everyone and come to the front." And he said, "Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am?" So she picked up the microphone and said, "Oh yeah." First she said, "No, I don't." And she picked up the microphone and she described, "There's a good-looking man here, 6 feet tall, with blonde hair and blue eyes, and he seems to have forgotten who he is." "Does anyone know who he is?" So, yeah. Yes.
You were talking about the relationships that devotees have with non-devotees. One of the things that I've noticed that is increasing recently is this phenomenon of the Bhakti Lounge, which is, in my understanding, is a space created so that people that are becoming more aware of Krishna consciousness will have a chance to develop deeper relationships with devotees, because relationships are really what people are looking for and brings them into Krishna consciousness more. So can you give a little bit more clarification how those relationships are to be developed and how they're to actually support the preaching when we're trying to create deeper relationships with non-devotees in order to bring them into Krishna consciousness?
Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam says that a preacher has to distinguish between four categories and deal differently with each. So, prema maitri kripu peksha sakaroti samadhyama. So with God, he gives his love, with Krishna. With other devotees, he makes friendship. With innocent people, he gives mercy. And with envious people, he neglects them. So this is, of course, initially we can't know who's innocent and who's envious. So we give everyone a chance. And that's the mercy of the devotee. But it shouldn't be that they influence us more than we influence them. You see that? In other words, we have to build a bridge to people, because otherwise there's no connection. And without the bridge, how will they cross over to Krishna? But we have to see if they're moving across that bridge. You know, if they're innocent, which means that they're open to learning, but they're innocent, like a child might be innocent. He doesn't know better. But by good association, you know, the child can learn. They can learn and they can improve. So if you see that they're actually coming closer to Krishna, then that's our mission. But it could happen that, you know, someone, I mean, it's so individual, but it could happen that by listening too much, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, anyway, these are very subtle points, but by listening too much, you could be influenced the other way. I mean, I'll give an example from another tradition, because it's a little distant and it's a little extreme. But there was a Catholic priest, and so quite frequently a young woman would come and confess to him about her promiscuous sexual activities. So he was listening to this. You know, there's a curtain or it's a booth, something. He was listening to this, and it worked on his mind. And he said, "Oh, you know, she's doing it with all these other people. She could be doing it with me." And then somehow he actually, you know, took a peek and found out who she was. And then, so that's the thing. There's always give and take. But I guess if we're really sincere and we're constantly praying to be instruments for, you know, Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara and Gaur Nitai's love and compassion, then we'll be all right. And then always balance that with the association of pure devotees. That will keep us. You know, if we always have our main association with pure devotees, then we can extend ourselves to others in a very humble mood of service, always praying to Guru and Krishna to be their instruments and to help them to come to Krishna. Is that all right?
Thank you.
Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for a wonderful topic. Maharaj, when in practical, we say like we should be in the association with devotees and we should not get intimate with the non-devotees. When we say devotee, are we drawing a boundary for the devotee as an ISKCON devotee or as a only Krishna conscious devotee or only as a Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya devotee, or there can be devotee from other Sampradaya, or there can be devotee from other religion, in fact. Because in practice, it is being noticed and it is being experienced, like there are many other devotees from other Sampradaya or other religions who may not also be following all the four regulatory principles, but when you get in contact with them, you feel good. You feel that better vibrations. And sometimes, even if you are with our Sampradaya's devotee, there is a lot of, you know, politics and unfortunately I have to say that, but you know, that kind of integrity issue and enviousness and all this stuff. So how we should differentiate between that? Sometimes you see like das, 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 dasanu, das behavior from non-devotees or the devotees of other Sampradaya. And sometimes around us we see not das, dasanu, das, but boss, bossanu, boss. So how we should consider that? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Do you want a sweet candy, or are you ready for some bitter medicine? I'm prepared either way.
Maharaj, whatever cures, medicine is always bitter. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Well, from everything that I've heard from many, many devotees, what you have described is more or less an illusion. I know people who have been in other associations, and when you get that deep into the other association, you find all the same things that you're seeing in ISKCON, but worse. So then another thing is that, all right, there's politics and there's envy, but there are also many purified devotees who aren't envious and who aren't political. So if you focus your attention more on them, your spirits and your consciousness will be uplifted. And by focusing your attention on like the envious people and the political people, you're bringing your consciousness down. And actually, those faults may be in you. Like we were saying, it takes one to know one. It's like, I mean, I shouldn't say about you, but I've seen it in myself that if I'm very sensitive to a certain type of fault in another person, it's because I have the same fault inside of me. And because it's inside of me, I'm very aware of it, and I can recognize it very expertly. So I would say that it would be better, rather than focusing on the faults that you see in them, which may or may not be there, to the extent that you're seeing them, and focus more on your own faults and try to remove those from within your heart by offenseless chanting and hearing, and by serving pure devotees. But as far as, you know, leaving aside all of those other points, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the real criterion is whether someone is serving God without any motive of, you know, material enjoyment or impersonal liberation. And he says that even if someone is in your tradition, the Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition or organization, but is motivated with by desires to get material facilities and material advantages, or to merge and become one, you should not associate with them intimately. And even if someone's in another tradition, but if their only purpose is to serve God for His pleasure without any personal motive of sense enjoyment or in personal liberation, you can accept that association. But their deity, say we're talking, a Christian, Muslim, or so you can accept their association if their motive is pure, just to serve God and please God without any personal desires for themselves. But you should see their deity as your deity. You should see that Jehovah or that is actually Krishna. So under those circumstances, you can. You can accept their association, and you can appreciate with them, and there can be a genuine bond. But still, the most intimate will be with those who are aspiring for Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, pure devotees who are aspiring for Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Or, Gaur Nitai. Hare Krishna. So, I think we have said enough. There's one thing I didn't say, but at a certain stage, I noticed that His Holiness Radhanath Swami was sitting in the audience. And I was so overcome with feeling that I really had to struggle to control my mind and senses to continue the talk. For a moment, I thought I should perhaps acknowledge him, but I didn't until now. And I will explain the reason. It's a very esoteric explanation. And that is this, that the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam is Shukadeva Goswami. Shuka means parrot. And in his original identity, he is the parrot of Srimati Radharani. So it is sometimes questioned, why is the name of Radharani, who is the topmost devotee of Krishna, not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam? It's only hinted at, but it's not mentioned directly. And why not? So the answer is that Shukadeva Goswami knew he had only 7 days to complete the Bhagavatam. And if he would have uttered the name of his worshipable mistress, Srimati Radharani, he would have gone into complete ecstasy. He would have fallen unconscious, and he would not have been able to complete the Bhagavatam. So with that... So that's why I waited. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj ki.
Jai.
His Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
So we want to thank Maharaj for sharing with us how to be authentic and be in harmony with being authentic. And so Maharaj shared so many wonderful points for all of us. But one point that really resonated with me with his sharing is authenticity means that we are connected with Krishna. That everything that we're doing is authentic only because it's coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we are connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so we want to thank His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. Thank you very much. So I'd like to divert your attention a little bit. And if you take a look, a quick little glance to your left, you'll see astonishing figures of devotees that are here in Gita Nagari. You will. So the representatives of the TOVP here are here by the kind invitation of His Holiness Radhanath Swami ki. So now we would like to invite His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to please come. He's actually been nurturing all of us here in Gita Nagari with retreats for the last 3 years. We pray that he will continue to do this, because every year that he comes, he gives us amazing opportunities to serve Srila Prabhupada deeper and deeper and deeper. Lots of purification when he comes and when he leaves, but it takes us deeper, and for that we are truly grateful here in Gita Nagari. So please, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, would you kindly come? And while you sit, I'll just share with devotees. Everybody knows Srila Radhanath Maharaj, so there's nothing really I can say to any of you about Radhanath Maharaj and his services to Srila Prabhupada. However, for the benefit of those of you that might be coming to Gita Nagari for the first time, and for those of you that may be not so familiar with Maharaj's services, I'll share just a minute or two of something about Maharaj. And then we will have a short kirtan, and then Maharaj will introduce the TOVP formally, and they will make their wonderful, beautiful presentation about the planetarium in Mayapur. Sri Mayapur Dham Ki! Hari Hari! So, Maharaj is coming, and I always get papers, but it never really works, because ultimately it comes from the heart, isn't it? And but there's a few things that even myself, every time, each year, I get new realizations about the services that Srila Radhanath Maharaj is offering to Srila Prabhupada across the globe. And so I broke this down because my mind works like this. It's kind of systematic. And so I wanted to share with you something from a little systematic mind that will somehow bring a little glimpse of some of the ways that Srila Radhanath Maharaj is planting seeds of authenticity all over the world. As Giriraj Maharaj shared, planting seeds, he explained actually that real authenticity means that one must understand the difference, distinguish the difference between the actual devotional creeper and the weeds. And so as I reflected on that, I also thought of Srila Radhanath Maharaj and how he's like someone that he does this kind of work where he's going into all kinds of places, planting seeds of authenticity within the hearts of millions and millions of people across the globe. And so I broke it down systematically so I can make it really short. But here's some things that Maharaj is doing to help Srila Prabhupada's mission around the world. So there's university events. And these university events are all over the world. So we have in Cambridge, in England. This is Harvard University. We have in Oxford. We have in New York, in England, in London, in Boston, in New Brunswick, in New Jersey, in Mumbai, in California. And all of these university events, they're not just ordinary university events. They're very amazing persons, educators from these universities that Marge often either debate with, or he has dialogue with, or somehow he finds a way to plant the seed of authenticity in the hearts of these educators that are involved in universities around the world. Another area where Maharaj is, I always say it's like Epsonog, his work, he's going through these little places, like a small, like a small sadhu. He's a sadhu, no doubt. This little sadhu goes into all these places and brings this big message, this huge message from Srila Prabhupada. So he goes into corporate events. And just a few. Ford Motors in Detroit, Apple headquarters in Cupertino, California, Intel, Google, Milken Institute Global Conference, or Oracle headquarters, Redwood, California, Starbucks, ENY Global headquarters, the Anthroforum, and you know, we can read on all of these things and be absorbed like a whole class just on all of these presentations that Maharaj makes around the world. CEOs in the Chief Learning Officers Summit, Association of Medical Consultants, Confederation of Indian Industries, the Indus Entrepreneurs, sorry. And then it goes on and on and on. There's festivals, there's all kinds of the yoga. Then, of course, there's the yoga-related events, which they're like gigantic, they're humongous. All over the planet, Maharaj is going into these little places where people are doing yoga, and somehow or other, he's touching these people. Not somehow or other, we know Srila Prabhupada has empowered him. He touched these people so that when we see them, one minute we see them, you know, doing hatha yoga, and the next minute we see them chanting in bhakti. Such beautiful, amazing transformation. And then, of course, there's events, other events, which one of my favorite that's listed under the other events, and there's a whole list, is the Eco Village project, which is one of my favorites. And Maharaj has put so much of his time in Eco Village, and there's so much devotion in this project of him. His energy's there. You can feel it everywhere you go in the Eco Village. And you must go there to get that experience. I recommend that highly. You will feel Maharaj in this project, and because he's inspiring so many devotees to bring the devotion that he carries around the world. And this is a place where if you want to see devotees that are inspired to work hard, to communicate with each other, to really share and love and care about the world, you will see an example of this in the Eco Village, as well as many of other projects that Maharaj does. This just happened to be one of my favorites. So I want to welcome His Holiness Radhanath Swami.